Hello, welcome back to another episode of Carpooling with Adam. My name's Adam, and I wasn't sure how to proceed or what to do for the next episode after finishing the book. But there's something that keeps coming up lately, and I feel like I've addressed it in minor ways maybe in the past, but maybe I want to drill in and focus entirely on this topic. And hopefully it's more deep and more insightful than my brief touchings on it in the past. But what I was thinking about, what I've been thinking about a lot lately, and this theme has come up in conversations and otherwise, and observing different things happening day to day in my working world. I think the basis for decision making matters. And let me elaborate, of course, a bit on that. I think there's a myth that's out there that all decisions and all bases for making decisions can lead to a singular outcome or result or goal or achievement, whichever word you like there. I don't think that's true. I think your basis for making decisions very much affects the outcome and which direction things go. And so to think that we can have the right goal and use a single basis for decision making or multiples depending on which suits us for which situation and context and always get to the same outcome is false. And maybe if, the talking goes there, we can talk about that a little bit more, but what I want to focus on is the different motivations. There's quite a few of them that I've noticed, and I think how you go about making a decision greatly affects the outcome and the results. For example, if you are making a decision based on achieving a political outcome, and I'm talking politics as like in business and organizational politics more than, and maybe it applies, but I guess we'll see as we explore this, to governmental politics, institutional type politics. Well, I guess all things can fall under the institution. That's kind of broad. So yeah, let's separate out government and business politics, office politics, right? Is mainly what I'm talking about is the office ones. If you make a decision in something that's, how do I say this? You want the outcome to be a good office politics move, but what you're deciding on isn't necessarily a matter of office politics, but someone has made it one. Am I making sense? I guess right away I can see a conflict. Maybe that's not obvious to everyone, but you're already making a decision based on something that's not related to the matter or the context itself, right? And especially in a business, because your decisions are there's all kinds, right? There's all kinds of decisions happening on. Maybe it's a product decision. Maybe it's a process decision. Maybe it's a managerial type decision. Maybe it's a policy type decision. But if you're using that decision to achieve some kind of political end, I think that's where you're going to run into problems. And because you're now making the decision based on a political outcome the desired political outcome, you're sort of abandoning the whole point of the decision to begin with. And I don't see how it does both. I mean, maybe you're some kind of decision-making mastermind and you can pull that off. Then I think, you know, there's some skill, talent there, maybe. But you can see there's different motivations behind those two. One of them is a social motivation. I think some people tell themselves that, well, achieving good, that it's twofold. Achieving good business outcomes will result in the social outcome, the desired social outcome. Maybe, not always. They are definitely not always in sync, and that is definitely not always the case. They are not one in the same. And I'm trying to think of a specific example. I have to be careful and not pull too close to home, but I'm trying to think of, for me or someone else close to me, I think I need to illustrate it better with an example, but let me talk about some of the other bases of decisions and it will occur to me, and a good example or analogy maybe will occur to me out of that. All right, so there's a political outcome basis for making decisions. In the software tech world, time frame based decisions. Ugh, those are the bane of my existence. Because so many decisions are based on trying to appease a time frame, and a lot is sacrificed for the sake of a time frame that puts everything else in jeopardy, right? So I guess my point is the time frame itself, meeting a time frame in and of itself, is not all-encompassing and important and doesn't immediately bring everything to the top of the priority. Right? The time frame is often pushed there where it would not naturally exist or evolve there, right? Often the time frame based decisions are always made. I have never heard of one made without a lot of deliberation on the trade-offs, right? And if there's a really good business outcome that's being jeopardized to meet a time frame, if you look at it that way, the reality of what you're doing, why would it ever make sense? I would be curious if time frame ever is of the utmost importance, worth jeopardizing everything else for. Right? Now, I think if you're talking context outside the business context, maybe there's a case there. The one that's jumping to mind is like in the military, obviously timing is crucial and frankly a matter of life and death in a lot of cases. Well then, yeah, that makes sense that it should have a higher importance. But time frame matter more than profitability? Should it matter more than business ethics? Should it matter more than maybe a customer and that relationship with them? There's a lot of things that it affects that I don't think are always weighed properly. And I've talked, I think, a lot about this in past episodes, so I don't want to go too deep into the weeds on that one. But it's a common one that comes up in tech all the time, and then it gets ugly when you start, well, there's political outcomes and time frame, and now all of a sudden those are also trumping good business sense and reason. We humans are funny creatures the way we do that, but it doesn't get better from there. The more you pile on the reasons for making a certain decision, it doesn't help. What are some other basis, some of these other basis, a basis that someone use for making decisions? This is a good one. Appeasing shareholders if you're a publicly traded corporation versus a private one. Well, obviously, private ones don't have the shareholders necessarily. So maybe that's not the comparison I'm going for. Well, kind of. Making decisions for short-term or long-term growth, right? The emphasis in the stock world is on short-term growth and gains that hopefully convert into continuous long-term. But, you know, unfortunately, those decisions are made on the short-term, and that never guarantees anything long-term. So that's always been an interesting dichotomy to me. But if you're running a business that's not publicly traded and you don't have that dynamic, are you going to make the same decisions as though you were? I don't think that makes sense, right? Let's just say I'm a sole proprietor, right? And I have my own company. I am definitely going to make very different decisions than a large corporation with thousands of people and not having those pressures. Why on earth would I ever try and model that? I'm just adding a bunch of really high pressure constraints that are just irrelevant to me. So, this isn't, and I'm talking about individual decisions, not, well, you know, in order to be a good business, you got to have a good marketing plan. Well, of course. And while you've got to, you know, you've got your revenue has to cover your costs and then some in order for you to be profitable. Well, duh. But all those things are just kind of a given. But that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about these finite ones that a manager or an executive or somebody at some level finds themselves at some sort of crossroads where a decision has to be made. And what kind of factors and pressures weigh into that? I've heard this one talked about. You know, if you're a nonprofit versus a for-profit organization. Excuse me. There are going to be times where those two are going to conflict. I hear people all the time talking about how it's the right thing socially to do is to run, to be a not-for-profit, right? Somehow that's taking some kind of moral high ground, as if profits are inherently evil. That notion it's false. It's not true. But people can't see that you can, be profitable and still do a lot of good for your community, for the environment, for your employees, right? It can happen. Again, it comes down to the decisions. And if you're making a decision based on being a nonprofit, you have very different dynamics at play than a for-profit operation. And if you try and mix the two, you are creating you're bringing the conflict yourself. You're bringing that in because there will be conflict. The two underlying reasonings for making decisions in those two worlds are going to be in conflict. So this idealistic view that you can somehow, that the two will just naturally mesh, it's not going to happen. There's going to be conflicts, and you're going to always be having to decide, well, in this case, are we going to act like a nonprofit or are we going to act like a for-profit? Because you're going to make very different decisions based on that, right? Let me think. What are some of the other reasonings that I hear about? We're humans, so you know, unfortunately, fears and insecurities play in to a lot of people's decisions. If you can't always, I can't say, well, what's always going to help me feel more secure about something is also always going to be better for the customer or for the business and how we operate. They're two different things. It's two very different worlds and decision making. So not all of these reasons are going to be in harmony and align perfectly for every outcome. And that's the other thing is, what is your outcome, right? I hear all kinds of goals and mission statements. They're all over the map. Some of them may are very meaningful. Some of them just the right collection of buzzwords, you know, whatever. It's all over the map. But maybe having an outcome that will actually drive or help guide your decisions, have that correct, that outcome in mind, here's what we're actually driving towards. And then you're going to make decisions accordingly. If you don't have that, I don't necessarily think that's a bad thing, but it can be. There's lots of ways I can see that going. There are going to be people who say, well, that's fine. You have decide on the outcome, make decisions toward that. And if you need to adjust what your end goal is or where you see yourself going, that's totally fine. Which can be, I guess. But then, is there, what's the point then of having a fixed goal in mind ahead of time? I don't know, maybe I'm just one of those people. I always struggle with, where do you see yourself in 5 years or 10 years? Well, are you asking me where I want to be? Are you asking me where I actually see my trajectory going based on my current skills and experience? Or all of the above with, now if I have additional training or education come into the mix? It's weird. It's a very open-ended question, but that's just me too. I'm just weird that way, where I typically need a lot more context when somebody wants an answer or feedback or input from me. I just need more context. I need someone to put a few more fences around me than most people, I guess. But just because, like you've just seen, my mind can look at things from all kinds of different angles, and I am very reluctant to assume what angle someone is coming from. Because I don't know, maybe it's a social awareness thing, or I don't know, but I just don't know or don't see or recognize that, or certainly don't feel safe in making a lot of assumptions. I'd rather you tell me where you're coming from, and then I can speak to that, but rather than me having to guess and kind of feel my way along. But anyway, so, and even then, let's say, you know, I have in my mind, here's where I want to be in 5 years. Unless I'm omniscient, it's not going to be perfect, and I'm going to be adjusting constantly, and life's going to throw curves at me, and there are going to be things that I don't expect and that I don't foresee, and circumstances are going to change, and all of that. So, to me, having a very, very, very specific outcome doesn't necessarily make sense. Having a more general outcome, and then sort of finding your way there based on everything I just mentioned, and figuring out how to do and make decisions and working through that, as you learn things and get better and have better perspective and whatnot, well, of course, you want to be able to then at that point make better decisions and not necessarily make inferior ones just to stick to the originally stated goal. And I like that word inferior. And I think I've used it a lot. That if you're making decisions on the wrong basis, you're going to make inferior decisions. Now, when I say wrong, some people that implies that I think I know the right basis for making decisions, and therefore anyone who does anything differently, I would categorize as wrong. That is incorrect. That is not what I mean, or it's not my intention at all. What I'm saying is, if you've missed something and you fail to see that and fail to learn from it and fail to incorporate it into your decision-making process, you will be making inferior decisions. An inferior decision, in my mind, is making one based on ignoring information you have at your disposal and maybe in your face and that you may know, but you're ignoring it for some other reason. I think that's definitely a recipe for making inferior decisions. Back to the trade-offs I talked about when making things only based on time frame. You're leaving a lot of stuff on the table that would be really good to inform and help your decision, but you're choosing to ignore that and adhere to just one basis for making that decision. You are going to make inferior decisions. I guarantee it. I have not seen that again in the context I'm in the business world. I haven't seen those pan out to be, we knew that was an inferior decision to begin with, but boy, it sure worked out well, better than we thought. If you know stories like that, awesome, let me know. I mean, there's dumb luck, right, where you just didn't know or you didn't see something and, oh, ta-da, by chance it worked out in your favor. But not we knowingly made the inferior decision and it worked out great. Maybe your judgment of it as an inferior decision might have been wrong to begin with, and then maybe it worked, again. But if it is truly you've willfully made an inferior decision based on whatever dynamics you felt were necessary, I mean, you're doing your best. I get that. But take the lumps and learn from that and move forward even better, even wiser. And I think that's a key piece, too. If you're not getting wiser, you're not going to make better decisions. And that's a hard pill for us as humans to swallow and work through sometimes. So. What else? I think of any other... If you're making, I've kind of hit on this, but I can see this is more of a thing. It's getting a little more clear to me. If you're making a non-marketing decision on a marketing basis, that seems treacherous to me. I see a lot of decisions made strictly on a financial or cost-cutting basis. Managing costs is absolutely essential. But is that the only factor for making decisions? I've seen financial people really struggle with this one, especially people who are like a controller or a CFO or some other fiduciary responsibility within the organization. Obviously, you have to protect that, but if that is your only basis and the driving basis for making decisions, you're going to make some interesting lopsided ones. For example, if you make personnel decisions based strictly on financials, there's some cost there you're going to miss, and it's going to sting. Let's go really even a little more specific, but even a very basic example. if you decide, well, you're just going to get away with paying people as little as possible, and even maybe even below fair market value for your particular, you know, job function or responsibilities, maybe that makes your business financially better. There's going to be costs. There are going to be some serious costs to that. Do I dare try and list them all out? You're going to have employee dissatisfaction. How loyal are your employees going to be? Are you going to get the best, the best talent you could hope to for your positions? You're sending a clear message that about how much you value your employees, and sort of where they fit in the priority for you. Not that, I'm not saying they have to be number one, but the lower you put them on your scale, they're going to feel that. It's going to be obvious. It's not something you're going to be able to hide. So I think some people think that they can hide that fact, or maybe not. You know, maybe they just think they have no choice, but whatever. It has its costs and its consequences that are not just monetary. That can be monetary in other ways, just not as directly as you're going to see them in your financial statements. Financial statements can hide a lot. There's a lot that goes into actually those numbers that spit out on that report and that statement. And I see a lot of financial people, because that's their world. They focus on those numbers. And forget often that there's a lot behind that, and maybe they're that's okay. In some cases, it's not, and I see it lead to inferior decisions. That's why I mention it. Let's see, any others I can think of? If you're making a product decision based on personnel factors, again, you're kind of, it's an interesting thing that we do this. I suppose as humans, we sort of get in this panic where we're trying to, I need some basis for making this decision, so you grab whatever you got, right, and use that. Well, it might be the wrong template. The dynamics in sales are very different than they are in human resources. So do you see a lot of HR people talking to the finance people about how they make the decisions they do? What money goes into what account and how much and when? How many of those decisions... How many of the decisions an HR department makes do you want based on that, right? There may be some overlap, right? And there might be ways you can diagram it to show that. But I don't think it's as much as people think. Certainly not so much so that you can adopt that whole basis and framework for making decisions and apply it unilaterally and absolutely to every context. If somebody's telling you that, it's obviously at a high enough level that it's probably not what you're looking for, because you're working with actual, tangible, in your face, in your hands decisions, not something hypothetical or high level. There are people obviously in the organization who are, but the people that are making really high level decisions, you can count them on one hand or two at the most, usually, right? So again, versus how many other people are there in the organization, that decision-making basis would not work for. It just doesn't fit. What's some of the other ones I see all the time? I don't know. I guess to pull back from the book a little bit, I remember that the book Competing Against Luck addresses that by Clayton Christensen, the book I just spent several episodes talking about. All of that in there is trying to get you to make better decisions and understand the context so that you know what your decision actually is and aren't misapplying and misappropriating and trying to force fit something into a model it doesn't belong in and in a context that's not relevant, right? It requires a greater level of understanding and wisdom. And so I would say if there's a deficiency there, recognized or not, seek the wisdom. Don't seek a quick template for decision making. Just do the work and dig in. And I get it. I like to dig in. I like to explore things. I like to try. And most people don't have the patience for me doing that. So I get that it puts you kind of at some odds and some conflict. But I feel better about the decisions I personally make. And if someone else wants to run with something and make an inferior one, I can't do a whole lot about that. But I can certainly improve my personal decision making all the time. And hopefully I'm continually striving to seek greater understanding and greater wisdom so that I do make better decisions, because there's more riding on them than I think is realized sometimes. And I'm also somebody who can see that times that turns into analysis paralysis for me, which I get, but usually I figure that out or someone else points that out for me. And I would rather have that situation than everything's from the hip and I'm constantly dealing with the aftermath of that. I'd rather be criticized for you're thinking way too much. You're trying to be too smart about this. I'll take that any day over. Yeah. You're just so from the hip and so haphazard. Do you even know what the heck you're doing? Right. I prefer thinking about it too much than not enough. But to me, it's obvious which side I'd rather err on. I'm hoping this was insightful and helpful. I'm still not sure if I really achieved or had said the dialogue I wanted to with this, but certainly got me further along than my previous knowledge and experience has, and this just keeps coming up, and seeing so many people struggle and trip and fail and crash and burn because they're trying to make a decision based on the wrong basis with the wrong factors and the wrong motivations. Again, by wrong, I mean irrelevant, out of context, do not apply, don't fit. Hoping, crossing fingers that it'll work out, give them the outcome they want, knowing that there's a high likelihood it will not. It's painful and causes a lot of people a lot of unnecessary grief. Anyways, hopefully we can all do better. Thanks for listening, and talk to you on the next episode. Bye.